Gopijana Valabha Girivaradhari. Gopijana Valabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev Jaya Jaya Subhadra Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Parivegacharya Satarasata His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Parivegacharya Satarasata His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Padaya Shrimati Chanda Maheshwami Bhakti Vidanta Namaste Sushadeva Vishnu Vadi Pashchata Vanchi Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasana Vyascha Pachidanam Pavanebhi Vaishnava Vyabhi Namanama. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's reading is from Canto 10, Chapter 23, entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed, verse 8 and 9. So we start reading the Sanskrit shloka. Dikshayak pasu samstayaha sautramanyascha sattamaha anyatra dikshishasyapi nannam asnanam hi dushyati. Dikshayak pasu samstayaha sautramanyascha sattamaha anyatra dikshitasyapi nannam asnanam hi dushyati. Dikshayak pasu samstayaha sautramanyascha sattamaha anyatra dikshitasyapi nannam asnan hi dushyati. Nikshayak pasu samstayaha sautramanyascha sattamaha anyatra dikshitasyapi nannamasnan hi dushyati. Thank you for chanting. Thank you for coming to this class. We welcome you very warmly. From coming from India. Very nice. Thank you for coming to this class. So we go on to a word-by-word translation. Dikshayaha. Beginning with the initiation for a sacrifice. Pasu samsthayaha. Until sacrificing the animal. Sautramanyaha. Outside of the sacrifice known as sautramani. Cha and sattamaha. O purest ones. Anyatra. Elsewhere. Dikshitasya. Of one who has been initiated for the sacrifice. Api. Even. Na. Not. Annam. Food. Asnan. Eating. He. Indeed. Dushyati. Creates offense. Translation. except during the interval between the initiation of the performer of a sacrifice and the actual sacrifice of the animal, O most pure Brahmanas, it is not contaminating for even the initiated to partake of food, at least in sacrifices other than the Sautramani. Purport by His Divine Grace, I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The cowherd boys anticipated the possible objection from the Brahmanas that they couldn't give the boys any food because they themselves had not eaten yet, and that a priest initiated to perform a sacrifice should not eat. Therefore, the boys humbly informed the Brahmanas about various technicalities of ritualistic sacrifice. The cowherd boys were not unaware of the formalities of Vedic culture, but their real intention was simply to render loving service to Lord Krishna. We will also read a translation to verse 9, since I was originally asked to speak on this verse, and I mostly prepared for that verse. So the translation to verse text is, the Brahmas heard this supplication from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These childish Brahmanas were full of petty desires, such as the desire to attain to material heaven, and therefore they could not recognize the golden transcendental opportunity offered them by the arrival of Krishna's personal boyfriends. Presently, throughout the world, people are madly pursuing material advancement and thus cannot hear the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna that is being broadcast through the missionary activities of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Times have hardly changed, and proud materialistic priests are still prevalent on the earth. Om Agyanati Ramdashya Agyananjaya Shakra Chakshumitam Gyanatashmai Shri Guruna Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Budhala Svayam Rupam Kadamaya Dadati Svapadandikam. So these are very interesting verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23. Verses 8 and 9, I'll mostly speak on verse 9 and also maybe touch a little bit on verse 8. So the interesting verse, so the point is being made that not only people in general, but even educated and trained priests, the Brahmanas, can neglect the Supreme Lord and His desire. Well, it is unthinkable. Well, a common man can miss the essence of life, which is God. How can a priest, who is specially trained to lead people to enlightenment, to God, miss the target so bad? I mean, so specifically here, the priests did not believe that the cowherd boys, that they did not believe the cowherd boys that Krishna's desire is important to satisfy, because first of all, they did not recognize Krishna as God. The second reason that they neglected Krishna's desire was they were enwrapped in completing their rituals properly. You know, technicalities, as verse 8 is saying, are very important to them. They make sure make everything perfect externally, but internally they're missing the essence. And third of all, they were enwrapped in fulfilling their own material desires, which, as the verse mentions, was attaining the material heaven. So selfish desires, okay? So just a simple example that came to my mind is, let's say that I am trying to be a good citizen and I'm sweeping the streets, you know, I'm giving some food to the hungry, and all of a sudden this magnificent person shows up by my side, taps me on the back and says, excuse me, Mr. President would like you to come over and do some personal service for him. Would you be willing to go? And I says, what? I do not believe that you're coming from the president. I do not believe that the person who is calling me is the president. Therefore, let me keep sweeping the streets and let me keep distributing the food to the hungry, and I will neglect you. Thank you very much. So this is the point I'm getting. That's how the priests behaved. That was their fault. It was a transgression. They missed the essence of all religious principles. They neglected the desire of the Supreme Lord. And they gave bad example to the world. But what can we learn from it? When Lord Krishna was present on earth 5,000 years ago, over 5,000 years ago, even demigods such as the creator of this universe, Lord Brahma, the king of heaven Indra, even they became bewildered and did not appreciate the godhood of Krishna. They were bewildered by Krishna's material energy. They thought Krishna to be an ordinary, mundane personality, although very powerful. So even it happens to the very elevated, materially elevated personalities who are in knowledge of religious principles. They become bewildered. They do not recognize Krishna. And so the same thing happened to the Brahmanas. So what can we learn from the example of those unfortunate Brahmanas so it doesn't happen to us practicing devotees? When we discharge our devotional service daily. So in this class, I would like to talk about three things that came to me during, reading those purports and the verses. We will talk, first of all, about being mindful of the presence of the Lord, and we will explain the principle of centering. And second of all, we will also discuss the principle of brushing away our desires, our material desires. We all have desires, and putting them somewhere far away, at least for the duration of our chanting and practice. And third of all, we will discuss the principles of prioritization, how to prioritize Krishna in our lives. Make him number one. Okay, so these three things. So we will start with being mindful of the presence of the Lord when we chant and when we perform our pujas. So the principle of centering, we cannot miss the Lord when he's appearing, or trying to appear in front of us, or he is there, but we just don't notice him sometimes. We have to ask ourselves some questions when we're chanting inattentively. Why are we doing this? Why are we chanting? Of course, philosophically, we believe, and also with our hearts, that the Lord is His holy name. The Lord is His holy name, and we associate with God directly by chanting His holy name in the morning. The morning is the best time, although any time during the day is great. The more we chant, the better. So I was inspired by His Holiness Satchinandana Swami to use this affirmation before chanting when the mind is wants to go to sleep, the mind wants to think about other things. How do we center ourselves to pay attention to the Holy Name so we don't miss the presence of the Lord, and therefore we avoid committing that offense of inattention? So I have this simple affirmation that I say before chanting, after paying my obeisances to the parampara, the devotees, that I can say right after that or during that time, or in the middle of my chanting when I think my mind is wandering off somewhere. So this this affirmation once again was inspired by His Holiness Tachinandan Swami. And I usually say something to this effect: "Oh Lord, somehow or other I am in this material and bewildering situation. I am kind of helpless. I would like to perform some service for you. Even in this condition, I would like to perform some service for you. Please help me associate with you nicely by chanting your holy name. So I feel your presence and I get properly directed from you for my service." So this is a simple affirmation that I use sometimes, oftentimes when I'm distracted. Another thing that came to my mind when I was reading the purports and thinking about this principle of being mindful of Krishna's presence is that since I was raised in Christian tradition, I remember when I was little and, you know, in my early, you know, later childhood, that the Christians do have this practice of putting various holy pictures in the room, you know, Jesus and Mother Mary and the saints. So they do not have altars like we do, per se, you know, with deities. Although there's some exceptions, I saw, I think my grandma even had some nice table and the picture of Jesus Christ, and she would burn some candles and had a prayer book. So, but usually they don't have altars, they just have the pictures. But they also do have prayer books. Prayer books, just like we have the bhajan book, temple song. I brought it just an example. Temple song book. So they have prayer books, they have various prayers in them. And when they pray in front of the pictures of Lord Jesus or Saint Mary, Mother Mary. And they also, when they do their prayers, they also have pictures of, like, little pictures of Lord Jesus or Mother Mary or the saints. So what I found useful, and also from observing my Christian friends, is that before they recite a prayer, you know, Our Father prayer or other prayers, they actually look at the picture and align their heart with the Lord. And they sometimes kiss the picture, actually, you know, kiss the picture. And then they start praying, which when I do it, it actually softens the heart and brings us more, makes us realize our position as servants and that we have some relationship with the Lord. Even though, you know, we may not exactly know what our svarup or our relationship with Krishna is, but even a general sense of servitorship will suffice to realign us with the mission and with our true position and center our attention when we chant the holy name of the Lord. So I thought it would be interesting and nice to mention this, since I have a lot of pictures of Krishna at home, and sometimes before chanting, when my mind wanders away, I look at the picture, you know, and then, you know, you can embrace the Lord, you know, in your mind, you know, walk up to the picture, you know. It's a very, very, very nice habit that actually softens the heart and makes you more attentive to the chanting of the Lord's holy name. We can say that the identity as Krishna's servant is reinforced by doing that. Number two, the first being being able to center yourself when you chant and being mindful of the presence of the Lord. Number two would be recognizing that we do have material desires in our stage of practice of devotional service, and these desires are a cause of our inattention oftentimes, because we have those material desires and we think about doing chanting, they pop up and divert our attention, and we're missing Krishna's association. Willingly or unwillingly, the material desires pop up and then you just wander off. So we originally did have this desire to independently try to enjoy independently of God, otherwise you would not be here. And, you know, the chances are 99.999 people in this world, however great materially, piously, however great they are by material estimation, they do have those material desires which prevent them from feeling full love of God, full appreciation for God. And even demigods who are in knowledge of religious principles, the material desires will get in their way. And so do also practicing devotees. When they chant, those material desires may come to the surface and distract us during chanting. So there are all types of desires. All types of desires for practicing devotees. I give myself as an example. You know, I live in a family setting. I'm a grihastha, so I have some desire for respect, you know, for my family members, for appreciation. I want to be appreciated and have some respect. You have desires for food, to enjoy the food. All types of desires. And the brahmanas allow their desires to overshadow their clear intelligence in determining the true goal of their sacrifice, what they were doing, and did not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the practicing devotees do know that those material desires only gradually go away, and they will not go away until you're very, very advanced, very high levels of bhakti, then you don't have any material desires. But at our stage of practicing sadhana bhakti, those material desires do come. So that's why we have to be very mindful of those thoughts and desires. And what I find particularly helpful is that principle of brushing aside the material desires, even only for the time being of your chanting. You may not be able to weed out those desires within one day, although it is possible. But for most of us, including myself, it's a very gradual process. So this principle of brushing aside your material desires works for me, and it's an affirmation. And I'll just read it to you. Putting those desires in the corner, it goes something like this, to this effect. Oh Lord, I do know that I have many material desires, and you know them even better than myself. Nevertheless, this time during my chanting, I wish to try my best to chant for you and be mindful of your presence and talk to you, and I want to neglect my other desires and my other plans. I wish to put you in the center of my heart, at least for this morning, because I know that once I do this in the morning, the chances are that I will feel like this for the rest of my day. And that would be awesome. That's why we try to focus so much and to chant attentively, because this mood of the relationship with the Lord and the presence of the Lord will carry over to the rest of our day, which may not be so spiritual for some of us, including myself. I get so enwrapped in my duties, different types of duties for family and job, that it's hard for me to think about Krishna. But if I have a very good time chanting, very attentive, and putting those material desires at bay, you know, putting them at least for now, don't let them come, then the rest of the day is much more spiritual. And we are not denying our material desires. What I found useful is that you do recognize them. You do recognize that you do have those material desires. You articulate them to the Lord. I have this and this desire, but now I want to forget about it and put it aside for now. It may or may not be taking care of the material desire, but I want to put it aside for now. The example that came to my mind is like when you clean your house, clean your room, you're using a broom, a shovel and a broom, and you understand and you know that your house is a little bit dirty, so you locate those pieces of dust and dirt and you shovel them, you brush and collect them and put them on the shovel and then and locate them and relocate them to a special place where they belong, to the bin. So we want to relocate it. We want to recognize and relocate those material desires. Practice doing that and put them in a far, far remote corner of our hearts so they don't disturb us when we chant the holy name. So this, I thought it was an appropriate example when you sweep your house and you put those the debris and dust and everything in a special bin. And then you feel better doing more elevated household duties like cooking, you know, or writing something on the computer, working some, you know, but the house is clean and makes you feel good, right? You know, the dust is not getting in the way and all the dirt and papers. So you can move on to more elevated duties. So you have this most elevated duty and practice of chanting the holy name. So it makes sense to really try hard to put those desires aside for the time being. And we can be much more attentive in our chanting. Then we will move on to the third item that I wanted to discuss. One is the mindfulness of the presence of the Lord and the principle of centering. The second one was our material desires and the brushing aside principle, to brush the material desires aside. And the third item is prioritization, prioritizing the Lord, make Him number one amidst our desires. So these kind of points two and three, they kind of overlap. I thought it would be nice to make it number three. The Brahmana priests, they miss the goal of all their duties. In chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 9, Krishna tells Arjuna, Yagyartat karma nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartam karma kauntya mukta sangah samachara. That work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, son of Kunti, perform your duties for His satisfaction, for the Lord's satisfaction. And this way you will remain free from bondage. So, and then there's a nice purport. I like to read parts of it by Srila Prabhupada. First of all, do it for Krishna, and then you'll be satisfied as well. There's no other way around. So the purport says, it's a very nice one. I'll just read part of it. This is the great art of doing work. And in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of the Lord or under the direction of Lord Krishna Himself, under whom Lord Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification. So prioritize Krishna. And make Him number one of all your missions in life, all your goals, all your duties. This is the sacrifice that's recommended in this age. And here we have a chance to get that blessing, the mercy of the Lord, and share it with others. What I also found helpful, prioritizing Krishna. Sometimes we get hungry, you know, maybe we delay our chanting and then we haven't eaten yet, and sometimes I'm guilty of it. Sometimes, you know, I get up a little bit later and then, oh, I'm already hungry. I haven't eaten for 12 hours or 13 hours. Let me eat something and then I will chant or then I will finish. But what even yogis recommend, and the Eastern, the Ayurveda, the science of Ayurveda recommends, is that before you eat your breakfast, before you consume breakfast, you want to prioritize your mantra and meditation and yoga. So in our Bhakti Yoga tradition, we want to prioritize chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and do all your pujas, Narsingadeva puja, Tulsi puja. Do these pujas first and then you eat. And it is confirmed by many yogis that your brain is very receptive. Your mind is very receptive to the mantra. When your stomach is empty, your brain works most efficiently when you haven't eaten. There is a lot of blood in the brain. After you eat, there's a tendency to, the blood will go to the stomach, there's less blood in the brain, you feel a little bit lazy, you feel a little relaxed. It's not the same of, not the same frame of mind. So delay your breakfast, prasadam. You know, we consume prasadam, so it's also very glorious. But try to start with the mantra first. Complete the mantra and the pujas and then eat. And any other duties that you may have. Some people I know from my work, since I work in the fitness industry, and so it also goes for non-devotees. You know, they want to do that workout early in the morning, including myself. I'm usually at work early in the morning, but I try to get up even earlier and finish my mantra. But people like to exercise in the morning, right? Before they go to work. So for devotees and non-devotees, it is very good to prioritize the prayer, the mantra, chanting. I'll just give you an example from my own life. The principle of inviting the Lord into all the activities of your life, the principle of offering. So let's say you chanted the mantra and you fulfilled the duty. You gave Krishna a place in the center of your day, the most important activity. But then, I think also one Christian told me at one point that we do not like to separate the Lord from our daily life. We like to invite the Lord into all the activities of our life. And so, the point that I'm trying to make here is that we don't separate the Lord from our life. And one of the affirmations that I use before I do my exercise, which is also important for keeping the body healthy, is that, Lord, you gave me this body because I desire to enjoy independently and desire to be away from you. So you gave me this body, but I want to keep it healthy so I can chant your holy name purely. I want to keep the body healthy so I can serve the devotees. I want to keep the body healthy to serve all the society, and serve the devotees. Please bless my endeavor to exercise to make the body strong. Please bless my endeavor so I can be healthier, to motivate other people to be healthier so they can serve you, so they can remember you. It's easier to remember the Lord when your body is functioning functioning. If your body is not healthy, then it's hard to even chant the rounds, you may notice. So this is one of the another affirmation that I use to offer activities like exercise to the Lord. So I hope this this class was helpful, and to recap, once again, we discussed the principle of centering yourself so you can be mindful of the presence of the Lord when you chant. The principle of brushing aside the desires that you may have, at least for the duration of your morning program. So then your spiritual feeling for the Lord carries over to the rest of your day. So it's so important to do that. And third of all, the principle of prioritization. You perform your chanting as first. You know, take your shower, pay obeisances, say your affirmations, center yourself, put those material desires aside and do your chanting first. And then eat your breakfast, then eat, you know, do other things, go to work. So prioritize Krishna in your life. And also the principle of invitation. You know, whatever else you do during the day, invite the Lord into those activities and offer them to the Lord as best you can to purify them and connect with the Lord. I hope this was helpful. And if you have any questions or need any clarifications, I'll be happy to try to answer. Thank you very much for your attention.
Hare Krishna.
Hey, yes, Prabhu.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Is that a yes? I think so, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you very class, Prabhu.
Ooh,
too loud. Lower. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's fine. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice points. Please forgive me for not organizing some of your points and my points, but I'll just share some things that your class reminded me of. Maybe you could expand on it. You were specifically talking about removing our material desires. We have so many material desires. And in order to remove these desires, so we won't be bounded by these desires, you quoted that verse from the Gita, chapter 3, verse 9. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. If you don't perform sacrifice for Vishnu, then you will be bounded, a slave, contaminated by your material desires. And so we see throughout the Bhagavatam, we see that, or everything in the Bhagavatam, we see there's something external and internal. There's external purity and internal purity. Now, one thing I like to share with others is that if you want to clean your teeth, you buy toothpaste. If you want to clean your body, you buy soap. If you want to clean your clothes, you buy bleach. Unfortunately, we can't go to the store and purchase these cleaning agents to clean our lust, to clean our greed. It may be easy. It's so easy to, you know, clean our clothes, but in order to clean our mind, Krishna says you need mercy. Krishna yadi kripa kare konya bhagavane guru ansayami rupe shukoy pane. It's not so cheap. And so even despite cleaning, chanting, even in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, shrimvatam swakata krishna punya shravanam kirtana hridi antastohiya badani vidu noti su hitsatam. If we're chanting our rounds properly, then if Krishna's pleased with us, then he'll clean our mind. We see that without cleaning the mind. I'll just give you an example. There's many examples, but Daksha, he criticized Lord Shiva. He was like, Lord Shiva, I was just meditating on this pastime, Lord Shiva. And we see this going on, you know, sometimes in our Christian consciousness. He criticized Lord Shiva. There was a big universal sacrifice, a universal sacrifice where all the members of the universe came to attend. In any sacrifice or banquet, there's guests of honor. So Daksha, you know, people honored him, but at the same time, he was criticizing Lord Shiva. He essentially said, this is from the fourth council of Bhagavatam. He says, Shiva, he's dirty. He covers his body in ashes. He wears skull bone. How is it possible that somebody that looks so homeless has a better seat of honor than me? How is this possible? So he criticized Lord Shiva. And we see that we see that if we don't have this internal purity, you can't just clean your envy. You need Krishna's mercy, and we see it led to Daksha's demise. Same with So this goes to my whole point of my question is basically motivated. Generally speaking, why do we perform our sacrifice? You mentioned performing sacrifice. Why are we chanting the holy name, which is the main sacrifice? And my question is regarding this scenario that I've seen, you know, including myself throughout the years. We all have the tendency to compare ourselves to others, including our purity. So another example is Durvasa Muni, he was thinking, I'm a celibate monk. I'm a vegetarian. I know all the scriptures. But how is it possible that a householder is receiving more recognition than me? And because of this, he committed murder. So you're a celibate, you're a vegetarian, but you want to commit murder. Why? You have the purity on the outside, but no purity on the inside. And so my question is, what are some steps we could take to give up this tendency that just by doing more yajnas, more pujas, more regulations than others, I deserve more recognition than others? And that's usually the tendency. But we see Krishna's in control. He gives the honor to whoever he wants. Shiva, Durvasa Muni, the prostitute in Haridasa Court pastime says Haridasa Court purified the prostitute after 3 days, and everyone would come to see her. If a prostitute was asked to give a Bhagavatam class over us, can we have internal purity? No, we'll just, you know, run off at the mouth, criticizing. We see that this goes on all the time. We think, I've chanted more rounds, I've been in more years in Krishna consciousness, why are they being honored more than me? Therefore, you give up your Krishna consciousness. These are just false charlatan devotees, let me leave Krishna consciousness, etc. So what are some steps we could gain a realization that actually, you know, Krishna, he's the supreme controller, he can give honor to whoever he wants. The most important thing is our humility, you know, being content in our own Krishna consciousness. I don't know if my question was clear, but maybe you could expand on some of these points that you reminded me of. So,
thank you, Prabhu. These are very, very important points. Obviously, how do we detach ourselves from this common desire of you know, wanting some recognition for whatever we're doing in devotional service? It's a desire that's common. At least I have it for myself. Just like when I do material duties, I still have some respect. You know, I'm doing my work. I'm bringing a paycheck home. And I'm doing this. You know, I want some respect. You know, it feels good to receive respect. Also, because you know, you're not pure, then it feels good. I want respect. I really appreciate. Well, when you talk about devotional service, the principle of centering is very helpful. That you establish your consciousness in this, zero in on the thought that you are Krishna's servant. You are like somehow you found yourself in this situation, and you're trying your best to serve the Lord. If you keep this in your focus, you zero in on this, you will be fine. You will not worry about, oh, I have to do 5 pujas and then I hope my husband or my wife will applaud me. You know, yes, or my children say, yeah, great, Dad. Great job, yeah. So it's nice if they do, but then once again, you're not performing your devotional service to be recognized by your God brothers, God sisters, by your family, or people from outside. You perform your devotional service to satisfy Krishna, and the ultimate level of selfishness, to purify yourself. It's for our best benefit. Chanting is the process and the goal at the same time. So it purifies us. So in a way, we may say, you know, we may be accused sometimes, you're selfish because you're just chanting for 2 hours. You could be going to work or helping people in different ways. Yes, that is true. I can help them in different ways, but how effectively will I be helping them? If I don't purify myself, and I don't feel the presence of God, I don't know what my relationship with God is, and I don't feel it, how can I be effectively helping other people? So, I think this level of selfishness is okay. Once you perform your yajna that's recommended for the age of Kali Yuga, I chant the holy name, now you're in a position to attempt to help others effectively. So, the principle of centering, and then something that helps, like I was inspired by His Holiness Sachinananda Swami about this principle of centering. So yes, Krishna, I'm your servant. I am fallen, you know, I'm trying to do some service. I'm trying to chant. Please help me chant with attention. I am your servant. I'm trying. And then other items that I found helpful was, I think you came in a little bit later in the lecture, so it was the first item, looking at different pictures of Krishna. Sometimes reading a passage, reading about Krishna's pastime, enlivens your heart and softens it, and then you feel like, yes, I like to be Krishna's servant. I feel like I'm Krishna's servant. I'm trying. And then you start chanting. It's quite different. So what I found useful, like some devout Christians use it, they have little prayer books, and then they look at the pictures of Lord Jesus, you know. So we can look at picture of Krishna, and we can embrace Krishna in our minds. We can kiss the picture, and this softens the heart. And Christians, so as I was raised Christian, Christians use this strategy, at least in my town from where I came from. They would, you know, kiss the picture of Krishna, and we can embrace Krishna in the mind, you know. Even if it's a general sense of being a servant. So this softens the heart and centers your attention. And once you have this, there's no way you'll be thinking about, oh, you know what? And also I would like some respect, and like if someone applauds me for my chanting and my pujas, that will be non-existent. So it is all about the centering before you perform your chanting. When you do it properly, you will not be distracted by this desire to be recognized for, you know, for whatever pujas you're doing, for the chanting and for making a lot of cooking, for any service that you do for Krishna. You won't need that recognition. And it will feel good in the heart. You'll be like self-satisfied. The principle of centering. That's all I can tell you. I mean, center your heart, center your mind, center your heart.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. You always give very, very good answers, and the answers, I really appreciate the comment about selfishness, healthy selfishness. You have to do your sadhana, otherwise how can you think about helping others? And we see a doctor. Before a doctor is officially a doctor, he's an apprentice. He can't help others. He has to, you know, study his books and before he could really help others. So same with our sadhana. And I really appreciate your point again about even seeing the picture of devotees. There's a verse from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 7, verse 44. It's either 44 or 45, but I'm pretty sure it's 44. It says devotees are like they're like an ocean, or they're like water, pure like water. Just by seeing, hearing, and touching the body of the devotee, one can purify one's consciousness because they're always, you know, chanting the holy names of the Lord. However, I always say however because we may see devotees like the Mohini form of the Lord. So yeah. What is our motivation for seeing devotees? So we may take this verse and say, I'm contemplating the devotee. But we can see it's obvious we're not being purified depending on what devotees. So that's why the Bhagavatam says, Dhyayato Vishayampum Saha Sangas Teshu but Jayate Sangas, etc. While contemplating the objects of the senses, attachment from attachment, lust. So contemplate the devotees. Of course, the devotees are pure, but what is our motivation? Don't contemplate the devotees. Obviously, we're taught, you know, look to your Shitsha Guru or Disha Guru. And obviously, be sincere. Obviously, be serious about your Krishna. But anyway, I'll just share one last point with you that I was discussing with another devotee. He was mentioned to me. I'm not going to mention his name, but basically his god brothers and his Shitsha Gurus in different countries, but they connect with each other all over the world. He was mentioning that they were thinking about doing a survey of all the various god brothers of this particular spiritual master, and doing a survey. How many rounds do you chant daily? How many, you know, what's your sadhana? How much you read? And they were just doing a survey, even if it's anonymous, doing a survey to see where, you know, people's devotional Krishna consciousness. Of course, we may, you know, maybe exaggerate the truth a little bit so we won't embarrass ourselves. But he was suggested to this Prabhu, instead of doing a survey of all our good things we do in Christian conscience, we should also do a survey to humble ourselves, do a survey of explaining some of our faults, like how much movies, how much internet, all the, you know, not so good things on the internet, not just Facebook. And how many, but I share with them one point that I heard many devotees say, including Vrindavan Prabhu when he was here. He says we should focus not on anartha nibriti, because our anarthas are like an ocean. If you focus on your ocean of faults, you'll be very miserable.
Yes, for
he
sure.
He says we shouldn't focus on anartha nibriti, but artha praviti. That means focus on Krishna consciousness, reading the Bhagavatam. If we're focusing on all the mistakes we made in our life, we're going to be very depressed.
Yes.
So I share with him one quote that inspired me. One quote that very much inspired me. It says, the reason a rearview mirror is smaller than a windshield on your car is because what's in your past is not nearly as important as what's in your future. Just like when you're driving a car, if you're absorbed in your rearview mirror, what's going to happen? You're going to get in a car accident.
Sure.
And much the same way, if we're always focusing on our anarthas, anartha nibriti, instead of artha praviti, then we won't be able to move spiritually. Now, the thing is that when we associate with so many devotees and people in the material world, we won't be depressed for so long because we're usually focused on other people's faults. But what happens if you're driving your car and you're absorbed in somebody else's rearview mirror? What's happening? The same principle.
Sure.
And so that's one thing I appreciate about this pastime and many pastimes. The cowherd boys, the wives of the brahmanas, they didn't absorb themselves in the faults of the brahmanas. They weren't spending their time talking about their anarthas. They were spending their time talking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So if we want to keep moving forward in Krishna consciousness, don't absorb yourself in your own faults. Don't absorb yourself in other faults.
Wow.
But absorb yourselves in Krishna's glories, in the devotees' glories. So come to Bhagavatam, read the Bhagavatam. But if we don't desire, we're going to be depressed, definitely. Focus on our own anarthas. And usually the tendency is we won't focus on our own anarthas the majority of the time, other people's anarthas. Because we have this false ego, proud, puffed up. So anyway, maybe you could expand on that. You don't have to, but it's just some of the points reminded me of I shared with the devotee the other day.
You made very essential points, and like, can't really expand much about it. It was complete. Just focus on the positive. The most positive thing in the world is Krishna's holy name and service to the devotees. And focus on their good qualities. Do not focus, and we all have our faults. We all have done bad things, a lot of bad things. And you know, 99.9999 population, devotees and devotees, they are here with desires and some bad records. So we're not here to be engaging in this this scientific process of spiritualization to do anartha pravritti, like you said. You know, we climbing the ladder. We don't want to see what's below us and what, you know, we have failed many times. You know, we want to just focus on the what's at the top. Krishna's service to the devotees. You know, so I mean, you explained perfectly. I have nothing to say, Prabhu. Thank you so much. You always inspire me with your examples. Any other comments, questions? Getting a little bit late there. Thank you.
It's just like a request. Like, can you please read that affirmation given by Satchananda Swami Maharaj? Like, when your mind is very disturbed and is going here and there while chanting. If you can just read again so I can remember that.
Oh, you're asking...
First one.
Was it?
Satchinanand Maharaj gives that affirmation, like...
Yes.
Yeah, first one.
Would you like me to read it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it was kind of a modified according to I got it from one of his new books. Yes, I think. One of his newer books, and then it was... I modified it to... So it's like more in my own words, but it was based on his. He was the inspiration behind it. The principle of centering and the affirmation is, oh Lord, somehow or other I am in this material world and this very bewildering situation, kind of helpless. I would like to perform some service for you, oh Lord, even in this situation. Please help me associate with you nicely through the chanting of the holy name so I can feel your presence and I can get directed by you properly for my service. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Yeah, just go see you. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.